Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Justin Burton. I'm here on behalf of Darwin Kaliloff and a petitioner for review of the Board of Immigration Appeals decision dismissing the appeal before it. This case originated on a notice to appear before the immigration court alleging that Mr. Kaliloff committed certain offenses. One of those offenses was criminal sexual abuse. Later on in the proceedings, District Counsel orally attempted to amend the MCA to indicate attempted criminal sexual abuse. At no point did they change the charge of removability to indicate that it was under 10143U provision. It was always under 10143A provision. The difference is whether it's attempt or actual sexual abuse of a minor. In this case, we would argue that there was no sexual abuse of a minor and that there was no minor. There was a jurisdictional issue in this case. There was a motion to dismiss filed by the appellees where they contested jurisdiction before this court. But we argue that this court does have jurisdiction to determine if it does have jurisdiction. I'm not sure if the other courts actually got to the ruling in the immigration context. Congress has used specified terms when trying to identify what aggravated felonies are. At times, the underlying criminal convictions, although they seem like they would fit under the definitions of an aggravated felony under the Immigration Act, don't. I think burglary offenses are one. I think in this offense certainly is one as well. Theft offenses also run into the same problem. When scrutinizing the criminal conviction, I think we have to just look at the offense in and of itself. The facts put forward by the Department of Homeland Security in this case and established in the record don't establish that he took those steps in furtherance. We can see that it's an internet sting, but the indictments in this case and also the plea in and of itself don't even indicate a statutory code section in which he pled guilty. It just says attempted criminal sexual abuse. I'm not even sure what statutory section we're looking at. Yes, we can look at the indictments, but the indictments are quoting another subsection of the Act than which he had pled guilty to. So whether we're looking at did he act in furtherance of or substantial steps towards being convicted of criminal sexual abuse of a minor under the Immigration Act, it's not clear by the record, and it's not established under the would-be standard. The would-be standard where there's clear and unequivocal evidence, convincing and unequivocal evidence, that he actually did do these acts. It wasn't... I think it does, because I think what Congress did was separate criminal sexual abuse from criminal sexual abuse of a minor. And the difference is the sensitivity and the vulnerability of the victim. In this case, the victim was a fictitious minor. There was a special agent. Well, there's two steps, right, Your Honor. There's two steps in the analysis. One, they didn't establish a burden of proof. The second, even if we get to the point where was there substantial steps in order for it to be an aggravated felony under the Immigration Act? Yes, I mean, there are two arguments. The fact that there there wasn't established charge. Second, it does make a difference whether there was a minor or not a minor, because even if we get to that point, I don't even think they can substantiate the burden that it was an aggravated felony. The difference is, if you even assumed it was a minor, the fact remains that there wasn't a minor at the other end of the internet connection, that it was an adult, that the adult isn't protected by the sensitivities that Congress had in passing the sexual abuse of a minor. Rather, okay, it's criminal sexual abuse under the Immigration Act, but that's not an aggravated felony. If there is another minor at the other end, I think... Yes. Under the Immigration Act, to be able to sustain a charge of criminal sexual abuse of a minor, the attempt in this scenario, no, it wouldn't be criminal sexual abuse of a minor under the Immigration Act, and the attempt in this scenario would lend it unsuccessful in them trying to meet their standard of proof and burden of proof. Yes, Your Honor, when there's no... Well, if there's no minor at the other end, I think it makes a difference because the attempt goes towards whether there's a minor in existence, the sensitivity of that minor, but that's... Well, I think, again, it would determine the substantial steps taken to secure that minor. I guess in a... If the person at the end of the road is not a minor, I mean... Well, no, I think that would differ. Well, it would differ because one's under a criminal statutory scheme, where the other one's under the scheme of the Immigration Nationality Act. Where But Your Honor, there is a difference. In the controlled substance arena, an attempt, there is a difference because it is a misdemeanor under the Act and allows for release before the immigration court. It's not considered an aggravated felony. In this scenario, an attempt will... Of course, there is a statutory scheme where attempt to commit the controlled substance violation is not an aggravated felony under the Immigration Act. As odd as it may work out in a scheme under the Immigration Act, yet an attempt offense under the Illinois statutory scheme in the controlled substance violation is an act in furtherance of obtaining it. It's an attempt provision, where the Immigration Act would then scrutinize, is this an aggravated felony, as in this case, and the attempt, which is a misdemeanor, would not be an aggravated felony, as strange as the act is worded and it's arranged. Likewise, in our case, I mean, the attempt, there is no minor, okay, he can be brought on charge of maybe a criminal sexual abuse under the Immigration Act, but not criminal sexual abuse of a minor because the minor didn't exist. The attempt in and of itself, yes, he can be convicted under the Illinois compiled statutes, but I don't think he can be convicted under the Immigration Act. Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I am Anthony Nicasso and represent the Attorney General, Mr. Ashcroft, in this case. The Court lacks jurisdiction over the instant petition on two bases. The first basis...
In favor of the government.
Yes, Your Honor.
Begin all of these arguments with the statement that you just made, that we lack jurisdiction. Maybe we need to acknowledge, as you always do in your briefs, that we in fact do have jurisdiction to determine these very basic points. Is this the Mr. Cowell app that we're talking about?
Yes, Your Honor.
An aggravated felony. And indeed, the Supreme Court itself has looked at whether a certain offense, as you well know, counts as an aggravated felony or not. We understand that once that's decided, we're not, you know, if it's decided that it is an aggravated felony and this is the right person and he is an alien, not a U.S. citizen, we've had that wrinkle as well, where it turns out somebody was really a U.S. citizen. So you can't.
Yes, ma'am.
It would just be more useful for us to focus on the real issues before us.
And you're absolutely right, Your Honor. That is the state of the law in almost every circuit. And I think we just start out with the conclusion, you have no jurisdiction based on the fact that the jurisdictional facts that you can review are all there, leading to the jurisdictional.
Talking about no jurisdiction, you know, the sense we were discussing in the first case, when there's really no jurisdiction, at least under many circumstances, to review remand orders to state court means you look at it and you're done. There's really no jurisdiction if there's incomplete diversity. You throw it out. You figure out what the citizenship is and you throw it out. This is a far more limited set of situations where there are initial thresholds, and then when you reach a certain point, the court ceases to look at what happened.
Your Honor, that...
Right.
Your Honor, you're right, and I will take that back to the department and let your concerns know, and that is, I mean, your state of the law is accurate in what it is in the circuit as well as from the Supreme Court. The two bases, the first basis I'll rest on brief unless there's any questions, that is the failure to exhaust his administrative remedies before the board. The second, the more prevalent jurisdictional issue is whether or not he stands convicted of an aggravated felony to an attempted sexual abuse of a minor in accordance with INA 843U. Initially, I'd just like to, it seems that petitioner is arguing some sort of due process violation, you know, lack of notice or lack of opportunity to be heard on the attempt charge. So,
purposes, no matter what state law may be saying about it, your opponent is arguing that this doesn't count as an aggravated felony.
Right, that's the crux of it either on either ground of removability. Right, and as was pointed out, it is a valid attempt crime because obviously there does not need to be a minor involved because, as your opponent pointed out, if a minor is involved, then you actually have a completion of the offense and no longer an attempt. It's true, or he might not have taken the substantial steps to complete it or any of the other elements that would be necessary to find an attempt on the criminal law. Here, there's no question as to the steps he took. There are no questions as to the factual issues. There is no minor. We admit that fact. It was an undercover officer. There's no question. Yes. Yes. Right, he does it. Exactly, and this is not a case where he's abandoned his criminal opportunity. He just wasn't able to fulfill his criminal opportunity because when he went to meet the person who he thought was a minor, it turned out to be a law enforcement officer. So there's no question that the affirmative steps to prove an attempt were clearly within the record and clearly within the documents to prove that he was convicted, his charge of removability. If there's Any other questions from the court on this issue or the exhaustion issue? I'd be happy to entertain them. Yes, Your Honor.
What is the minimum in order to get the exhaust? Is it if you put it in the, just mention it, what's enough?
I think it has to be presented to the board in some, your the issue that you present, that you're contesting, that the immigration judge made some error below, to the board in a way that they can fashion what exactly you're complaining of below. It's interesting to note that in this case, when he actually wrote the brief to the board, he concedes that he was convicted under an attempt charge. He doesn't make any of the only thing he makes is the substantial steps argument. But that's it. So any of his other arguments, when there wasn't enough evidence presented, or there's some due process violation, procedural due process violation, were never presented to the board in his brief. So the board probably and assumingly considered those issues waived, just as this court would be if something was presented in a petition and then never briefed in the opening brief. You would say, under the case law of this circuit, that issue is waived. And the only one that's before us is the one that you briefed. For whatever reason, you decided to not fulfill your briefing obligations below. Thank you, Your Honor.
Just very quickly, Your Honor, on the exhaustion requirement, we did bring it up before the board, various issues. Although not necessarily briefed, the issues were presented to the board on a notice of appeal. The board doesn't require briefing like this court would, but it still requires issues to be brought before it. There's absolutely no requirement that we even brief a case before the Board of Immigration Appeals, no matter how short it is. The issues were outlined. They're outlined for the board in paragraph form and presented with case sites as well. Thank you, Your Honor.